Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Zoe Brown, here on Zoe Brown Speaks Radio, under Life Coach Radio Networks, also under Blog Talk Radio. I know that's a lot of things to be under, but it's June 26th. It's 9 p.m. You are tuned in to Zoe Brown Speaks Radio. It's a Thursday. This show is appearing, actually broadcasting every fourth Thursday of the month, so try to commit that to your mental Rolodex. This is your boy, Zoe Brown. We have a special treat for you guys tonight, all you listeners. We have an awesome guest by the name of Dr. Alex Ellis. Most of you have probably heard of him, but if you haven't, you definitely will remember who Dr. Alex Ellis is this evening. But before we introduce him, I just want to talk to you a little bit about what tonight's topic is. We are talking about things that are essential for men to have. Five essential items every man should add to his wardrobe and actually add to upgrade his wardrobe. And Dr. Alex is going to help us figure out what exactly those things are tonight. I like this topic, and there's a lot of reasons why I like the topic. I actually come from a family of dressers. You know, I have a lot of stylish individuals in my family, from my grandmother to my late grandfather, mother, cousins. And some people dress and they have their own styles. Some are more dressed down in casual clothes, and others have more dress-up styles to them, but everybody is stylish. I have to say I come from a stylish family. So we pretty much have an artist. But when I was younger, my mother used to dress me in bow ties and blazers and different things of that nature, and I didn't really have an interest in fashion and dressing at that young age. So I pretty much let her dress me in whatever she wanted. But when I was about 10 years old, I began to take an interest in fashion because that's the age I started to work. So I was working at the barbershop making $40 a week, and that means I had money to buy my own sneakers and some T-shirts. And that was more so the style of dress that I was more interested in at that age. But when I got to start working, when I went to high school, I started to work. And I worked in a men's clothing store. It was at Banana Republic at Shores Mall. Anybody from Jersey? We are calling from Jersey right here. You know, I just want to put that out there for all you listeners who are listening all over the world. This is New Jersey right here speaking to you guys. And I had that job at the mall, and it was men's clothing. And I began to take an interest in that dress-up style that my mother once started me off with. So, you know, it was just like a nice little journey there. And you know, people would pretty much say, you know, I can throw it on when the need arises. You know, people usually tell me that I'm a smart dresser. You know, there's a lot of other words, too. I like that word smart, though. But if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Zoe Brown Speaks Radio under Life Coach Radio Networks under Blog Talk Radio. If you're a guest, call in at 646-716-9397. And the first people to call wins a special gift from Zoe Brown. So call us, call in. And, you know, when you call in, I'm just going to ask you what's your name and where you're from and if you just have something to say about today's topic. All right. But the title today is Five Essential Items Every Man Should Have and Add to His Wardrobe. Earlier this month on social networking, YouTube, I released a video called Five Things Every Man Should Have. And these are things that are pretty much basic items when it comes to the professional corporate world. And those things were as follows. A power suit. And when I say a power suit, I mean a suit that is either navy blue, black, or charcoal gray. Simple three-button power suit. And I also recommended that every man should have an Oxford shirt, starting off with a white shirt or a blue, something very basic. Also, every man should own a tie, a necktie. I love bow ties, but you definitely have to have neckties in your wardrobe. Men should also own a nice pair of shoes, preferably brown or black, an Oxford-style type of shoe. Those shoes should be shine. and it should look good. And also, you know, I said a man should own a watch. So when we bring on Dr. Alex Ellis, he's going to share with us some items that we can add to our wardrobe to upgrade that. So what I gave you was the basic, but he's going to upgrade you from the basic. Okay, I'm going to actually bring in Dr. Alex now. You know, I will talk, but I'm just really excited to hear from this great man. Let me take him off a hold and see if he is listening. Okay. Dr. Alex.
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Good
can
evening. Good evening. Yes, I can hear you just fine.
Excellent, man.
Welcome.
Thank you, man. It's
so
a pleasure
things,
to be here.
Yes, yes, yes. There's so many things I can say about you right now. So I'm going to give you a good introduction.
I'm going to be nice. I chose these words wisely.
But this man is a fashion guru and connoisseur, and he is also an awesome motivational speaker. He's a doctor. He is a personal mentor of mine, a friend and a brother, and he's so much of these things to so many people. And, you know, I'm just honored to have you in my life as a mentor. You've touched so many people, and, you know, we're going to find out a little bit more about you. But welcome. Welcome to the show, Dr. Alex O. Ellis.
Hey, man, listen, it is an absolute pleasure to be with you this evening. I want to start, man, just by congratulating you on this radio show, man. This is really incredible that you're really taking the world by storm, man. You're really doing your thing, and I want you to know how proud I am of you and
Thank
that you,
you
use the internet and even social media to lift people. You know, there's a whole lot of trash that's out there now. So whenever we're using these mediums to advance our people, to encourage people, to, you know, build people, to empower them, you know, man, that's all always noteworthy. And I wanted to congratulate you on that and saying you're doing an incredible job. And I just appreciate you thinking enough of me to have me on, man. I'm glad to be here tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. And just, you know, just saying that, I just want to thank the executive producer, Russell Terry. He found me on social media, just like you mentioned. You know, social media is very powerful, and I am always talking about the power of networking. And he found me on Instagram and asked me if I wanted to be part of Life Coach Radio Networks. And I said, yeah, of course. Why not? Why wouldn't I be? And, you know, the last show I had, it was an awesome response, and I actually won Coach of the Week. You know, that was very unexpected. So, yeah, it's been awesome, man. You know, so I thank him for finding me and, you know, appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
Great.
Awesome. So I have a few questions for you. You know, first I just want you to tell us a little bit about you, about, you know, because I thought you were a fashion guru and a connoisseur, and obviously that started from somewhere, okay? So we want you to take the listeners back. You know, take us back in the day from when, you know, 6'6". Yeah, this man is 6'6",
yes, sir.
Right?
Indeed,
six
yes.
6'6".
Yes,
we want you to take us back in the day to when stretch. Oh, sorry, I have to throw that in there. Yes, when stretch was a little boy.
Yeah,
when did you become interested in fashion? You know, like when did this all start? You didn't just come out of the womb knowing that you can dress. When did this start?
Yeah, well, it started when I was a teenager. I fortunately had two older brothers that lived at home with me, and my oldest brother Lester, he was in the Navy, and so you know, once he graduated, he enlisted in the Navy, left home, and he traveled the world, and he had a great sense of style before leaving. But after seeing the world, you know, traveling to London, traveling to Paris, traveling to Asia, I mean, just going, again, around the world, it just, of course, the exposure of what he saw really took his fashion sense to another level. And so, of course, as a younger brother, you know, you idolize everything that your older brothers do. And so when he would come back, man, he would take me shopping, and he would pick up things for me and take me to some very exclusive boutiques in New York and all of that.
Wow.
And it just, that exposure created an appetite in me for fashion.
Wow.
And so, you know, from a teenager, man, I really started having an eye for fashion. Not only just a desire for fashion, but I saw that I was good at it. You know, there are some people that like to sing but can't sing. You know what I'm saying? So everyone who
doesn't necessarily
mean that they're a natural at it. And through the exposure to fashion, I saw that, man, I really have a knack for this. And so,
yeah, you know what to do.
Yeah, and so initially it was just for me. So it was just my own dressing, my own sense of style, which people would admire. And that was great. And, you know, I appreciated compliments and different things like that. However, I then began to realize that, you know, there were people that were getting paid a whole lot of money for shopping for other people, for styling other people, and I was doing those types of things for free. I someone would say, "Hey, listen, I got an income tax return, and I really want to, you know, take my wardrobe to the next level. Can you help me?" Or they would say, "Hey, listen, I'm getting married. I don't know what my guys are going to wear for the wedding. Can you help put something together for my guys?" I have some people I was connected to that were artists and would have different CDs and things coming out. "Hey, listen, man, could you style me for my new CD cover or for a photo shoot that I'm going to be in?" And I would just do it just by my sheer love for fashion until one day I saw an interview with Diddy, and Farnsworth Bentley was fixing his pocket square and straightening his clothes and all of that. And I was like, wow, this dude, you know, reminds me a lot of myself. But, man, he's on television. He's doing his thing. And I really began to research and found out that, man, people, again, there is an entire industry. Of course, you see it a lot more now with reality shows and different things. And they follow certain stylists and, you know, stylists to the stars and things like that. But back in the day, you didn't see all of that. I mean, it was taking place, but you didn't see it as prevalent on television. And so, you know, I found, man, in order for other people to take you serious, you got to take yourself serious.
That's
and
right.
I began to take my craft in styling and fashion very seriously. And so I was working at a men's boutique in Perth Amboy. And so I initially just walked by the store and just admired their beautiful clothing for men. But nothing could fit me because, again, I'm 6'6". And so the guy said, "Hey, well, listen, we're getting ready to launch a line of custom clothing." I was like, "Wow, man, that's great." And so he said, "Man, listen, I'm familiar with you, and I know that you know a lot of people. You have a great sense of style. You know, would you consider being one of my sales reps?" And so I took on the job, and it went really well, man. Again, I was a natural at it. And then over a period of time, he began to make a change in the structure of his business. And so he was closing down the boutique, and he was going into another area of business. And so I said, "Well, man, I've gained so much success in custom clothing. You know, do you mind if, you know, I continue and just launch my own custom clothing line?" And that's what I did. And that was the beginning of what was then Simply Ella's Custom Shirts. And then over time, shirts, you know, blossomed into a full custom clothing line, whereas now it's just Simply Ella's Custom Clothing, and we provide a line of custom shirts, suits, blazers, and a line of accessories, bow ties, pocket squares, cufflinks, you know, and the like. So, but it was a rough beginning, you know. I mean, my teenage years were challenging years. You know, of course, we have everyone pretty much has their awkward stages as a teenager.
Yes.
But man, I evolved into really coming into my own style, man, and it's really worked well for me. It has.
And I want you to speak about that in just 1 second. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to Zoe Brown Speaks Radio under Life Coach Radio Networks, under Blog Talk Radio, and I am interviewing Dr. Alex Ellis right now, the fashion guru or fashion coach. And Dr. Ellis, you mentioned your style, and I want you to describe your style to me. Describe your style to the listeners. Like, what is that? How can you describe your style?
Well, I would say a modern-day Renaissance style. So
modern-day Renaissance.
I really love the Renaissance era. And so, you know, gentlemen were wearing three-piece suits. Gentlemen were wearing fedora hats. They were wearing high-collar shirts and ties. Shoes were really polished. They were wearing pocket watches and those trench coats and those types of things.
Yeah.
So I love the style of the Renaissance era. However, you know, we're in 2014, and so I think that you can do that Renaissance with a modern day flair with it. And so I would that's why I've come up with a modern Renaissance style, which is absolutely an ode to, you know, those that have paved the way in fashion, you know, during that Renaissance period, and now just putting our own flair to it. But oftentimes we think that we're creating something, which if you study and look in old magazines and old books, you know, you'll see, you know, like, we didn't create a flower on your lapel. You know, we didn't create a pocket watch. Like, that didn't just happen 2 years ago. Like, that goes way back, of course, but fashion is, you know, it's ever evolving. And also fashion is, there are certain fashion trends that go in a circle, you know? So, you know, like, you know, your pants being much more narrow, a more tailored fit, again, wasn't something that was created this season, you know. But then they'll go back to being a more wide leg pant. But right now they're a more narrow fit. But again, fashion just continues to go around in circles and circles and circles. So what's out today, hey, it'll come back in another season or two. So don't be careful of what you throw away, for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. We actually have a caller online, so I'm going to bring this caller in right now. Caller, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Hey, how you doing? Yes, I can hear you.
Good evening.
Hey, caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
How are you? This is Q in Atlanta, and I have somewhat of a challenging question.
Okay.
Okay, and your name is Q, you're calling from Atlanta?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yes, Q, what is your question?
All right, I got to set it up so you understand the full gamut of what I'm asking and why, and I'll be very quick.
Okay.
I already believe that I dress above board, and my lounge attire is what I consider immaculate. But my business attire, I just keep it above board because I work around ladies, and I've come to understand through watching my older sisters throughout the years, some ladies, most ladies, are easily intimidated. So I've come to find that I have to dress extremely moderate, especially with the baritone that I have. I just got to dress moderate. So recently, something very weird, for the past 2 years, I've went on interviews and or meetings, and I would wear a standard black suit, white shirt. Tie is either a blue paisley or a red gray tie with some type of dot design, just general, nothing really above board. But I've heard this said a couple of times. Now, I find it very interesting in what I'm about to ask. So I'm about to ask you, how do I dumb this down even further? But I find it interesting that I went into a meeting with 5 black women and 2 white women. The white women were overly enjoyed with my presentation. Not so much the sisters. And it struck me to think, you know what, there's a pattern here, because I was speaking to my friend about a month ago that there was no reason with me having 5 certifications why I shouldn't have this particular position. And I left out of that meeting, you know, everybody was laughing, we had a pretty good time in my interview, and there was a lady sitting in the office waiting to see the people, and I guess she couldn't work the hours that they hired her for, so she needed to get her hours redone or what have you. So at the end of this, I said, you know what, I still didn't get this position. Now here I am, I have a certification for what they're asking me to do. And you hired the lady who couldn't work the hours. And during that meeting, and here's the clincher and why I asked the question. During that meeting, one of the black ladies says, oh, I remember you. You applied 8 years ago. Oh, really? No, I don't recall. She said, yeah, because you dress like a funeral director.
Wow.
And I said, hmm. I said, okay. Mm. Now, my sisters have taught me that our black ladies are very disingenuous toward brothers who are excellent. That's what my sisters have taught me. So I took that in stride as that's her feeling, but the white ladies love it. Very strange thing for me as a black man. But my question to you, Guru, how do I dumb it down even further to be even less, because another black lady during the meeting says it looks like I'm more so fitted for a manager position. Now, in my mind, I'm like, I know that, but, you know, I still smile and say, yeah, but unfortunately, you know, I am, you know, here for the position at hand, and, you know. But anyway, so how do I dumb it down even further, Guru?
Okay. Wow. Wow. Well, let me say this, and this is no strike against the advice that your sisters gave you. However, just be open. Because, and Zoe, I don't know what your experience has been, but my experience has been much the opposite. In that women of color that I've come across, I believe that my fashion is above board, much like yours, and I'm a breath of fresh air for them. And yes. So it's, wow, you look so amazing. Wow, you look, it's great to see a brother in a suit. Wow, that's a sharp tie. I love that pocket square. It's been that. And not the converse that you've experienced or that they said you would experience. So, again, just stay open because sometimes we can make our experience the standard when it was just that, our experience. So just be open. And so with reference to dumbing it down, I don't think that you should dumb it down. I mean, I don't, again, whatever's appropriate for a business interview, stick with that. I mean, long as you're not walking into, again, I wouldn't suggest, you know, you necessarily wearing a 3-piece suit or you necessarily wearing a pocket watch or some of those accessories or a flower on your lapel, those things would be a bit much for an interview. But a classic navy blue business suit or a classic black suit, white shirt, light blue shirt, really nice, subtle tie, you know, something really nice and classy like that, I think you're spot on for whatever position you're going for, whether it's managerial or whether it's something, you know, that's not quite managerial, which is something entry level to get you in for you to have the opportunity to shine until promotion takes place. But I would not, you know, I would not compromise who I am just to make them comfortable. You know, I would just stick with the standard business attire for those types of interviews and opportunities.
That was an awesome way to respond to that question. Thank you so much. Carla, I really hope you got something out of that. You know, I agree with you, Dr. Alex. As far in my experience, I guess that's that's one way that I've learned that I'm a good dresser is by the feedback of others, and it's mostly women for the most part. You know, men too compliment me as well, but to the black women that I work around, that are in my circles, just like you said, it's a breath of fresh air. I just remember distinctly, they said, "Oh wow, I really love it." Of young, older woman said, "I really love it when men dress like that. You know, I love the colors." And, you know, I usually get great feedback. So, but I hope that helped you out, caller. And I'm glad the caller called and asked that question because it kind of segues into what I'm about to discuss with you next. But if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Zoe Brown Speaks Radio on Life Coach Radio Networks under Blog Talk Radio. It is June 26th, Thursday. Zoe Brown Speaks Radio is every fourth Thursday of the month. If you are a guest and you would like to call and speak to myself or Dr. Alex, you can dial 646-716-9397. So, Tied to Greatness, Dr. Alex, is
yes, sir.
A nonprofit organization that you've started. And I really, really love the message. And the last question that the caller asked, I think this the message of Tied to Greatness really ties into that. And I want you to explain to the listeners what exactly Tied to Greatness is.
Yeah, I appreciate you asking about Tied to Greatness because you know, with the relationship you and I share, you know that this is at the heart of who I am as a man. I believe that this was the part of the call that's on my life, and that's to impact the image, character, and esteem of inner-city high school males. And so I was mentoring a young man, this particular young man, and I'll be brief with this background story, but as you know, I'm a associate pastor at Abundant Life, a church in New Brunswick, New Jersey. And so this mother comes to the altar for prayer, and she's literally like pulling her 14-year-old son and dragging him to the altar. And so they came to me for prayer, and so I said, you know, well, how can I assist you in prayer? And so she said, well, this is my 14-year-old son. He is the oldest of five that I'm raising on my own, and, you know, he's becoming disrespectful, and he's not doing well in school, and I think he's having sex, and he's beating up on his brothers, and, you know, just this list of things that he was doing. And clearly this woman was absolutely overwhelmed with raising this teenage boy. And she broke down and was profusely crying. And she said, I need help. And so then at that point, I knew that prayer alone was not enough. So after I prayed for the young man and for his mother, we scheduled an appointment for them to come to the office and meet with me. And that led into a mentoring relationship with this young man. And through mentoring him, I began to see that there were so many things that these young men were missing without having a positive male influence in their lives and a male father in the home. And so through mentoring him, I really saw this great need for intervention for young men. I mean, this young man, he didn't even know something as simple as how to tie a tie. And I had really had a heart to help him, but I realized it wasn't just him, but that there was a fatherless epidemic in the black community that needed our attention. And so that not only was he left without this principle of manhood, but so were all of these other hundreds and thousands of young men that are in our communities today. And so I decided to garner a team to support me in reaching these young men. And so, man, we sat and literally took a map and just said, okay, we're going to establish this tour. We went to 13 major cities, from Detroit to Chicago, L.A. We went to Dallas. We went to Harlem. We went to Newark. We went to Philly. We went all over the place. And we picked the worst high school in these cities. And we said, we simply want your young men for the afternoon. Just give us your young men. And so we went in, and I garnered support from men from the community, because I didn't want just to be a singular voice, but I wanted them to come into this auditorium and see hundreds of men that looked just like them, but men that were well-dressed and educated and men that really cared and wanted to give back. And so, and that's what I did, man. And we traveled the nation, reaching young men. And it was just such an incredible, incredible experience. And so we would have these successful men talk to these young men and share with them, you know, what it took for me to become successful in life. And that no matter what profession I went into, my image played a factor in that. So whether I was a football player, my image mattered. You know, whether I was an actor, my image mattered. Whether I was a politician or a preacher or a physician, my image mattered. And so it was just, man, it caught fire. I started the tour and got an interview with Steve Harvey. And, of course, you know, when Steve gets a wind of what you're doing, man, it just takes it up to a whole nother level. They shut down our website because all of his listeners called in and supported what we were doing. And, man, we really, really – and this is, and it's funny that we're having this interview, but this is our fifth year doing Tied to Greatness. And, man, to date we've reached over 7,000 young men. Yeah, 7,000 young men to date. And we're still counting. So this by no means is the end, but we're still going and reaching young men. And what I thought originally – was to just bless and inspire young men, I've also realized that it's blessing and inspiring adult men as well. And so there are adult men that come to Tied to Greatness events, and they pull me to the side, and they say, Dr. Ellis, you know, don't tell anybody, but I don't know how to tie a tie neither. Can you teach me?
Mm.
And so instead of just teaching the young men, I'm teaching some adult men as well. And then I have adult men that come to me because during the Tied to Greatness event, we culminate with a tie-tying ceremony. And so I have the men, number one, affirm the greatness in these young men, because you can go to Macy's and learn how to tie a tie, Brooks Brothers or K&G, but I want to have these adult men to look into the eyes of these young men and to say, hey, man, listen, I took this day off work or I took this afternoon to be with you because I believe in you. I love you. I'm here to support you. I want you to know that I was in your shoes, and if I was able to get out and to make something of myself, then that same greatness lies on the inside of you, and to motivate them to greatness. And then after that, then teach them how to tie a tie. And so I've had gentlemen come to me to say, hey, man, listen, I must admit that I don't have the best relationship with my son. You know, me and his mom, you know, we have our own drama going on. And so to avoid dealing with her, I don't deal with him. And but they say, hey, listen, man, but after seeing the light in this young man's eyes come on after learning how to tie a tie, and by me talking to him and spending time with him, I'm going home today, and I'm going to get it right with my son. You know what I'm saying? That's the type of impact that Tied to Greatness is having, again, not only just on young men, but on adult men alike. And so, man, it's to the glory of God, man, that things are going as well as they are.
That's awesome, and that's really what makes doing this thing worth it. You just tuned in. You're listening to Joe Brown Speaks Radio, Life Coach Radio Networks. We actually have a caller on, so let me unmute the caller and see who it is that we're speaking to. Caller, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, hello?
Hello, caller. Hi, what's your name and where you calling from?
Hi, this is Hasina Aisha, the food physician. Hi, Zoe. Hi, Dr. Alex.
How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, great to hear from you.
How are you guys? I'm chiming in a little late, but thus far, I mean, you guys are hitting on some really, really good points. I don't know if this was addressed or not, but one of the things I wanted to address was breaking the image of what young men or black men or any type of gentleman supposed to look like, because I noticed a lot of things are trending aren't necessarily tied to greatness. And, you know, it's, for me, I think, and I have three sons, so this is very important for me. My oldest son is 10, and we're always talking about hygiene and, you know, keeping clean, because these things are very important. You know, I teach them, open the doors for females, stop, because these are the things you learn as when you're young, they'll stick with you for the rest of your life. However, some young men aren't as fortunate. So how do we incorporate, you know, shutting down these stigmas and teaching our young men that it's okay and it's not feminine and there's nothing wrong with being clean and neat. There's nothing wrong with a man having his nails polished, shiny, buffed, and, you know, just grooming and hygiene, that there's nothing feminine about it. There's nothing not cool about it. It's cool to be clean and neat. And, you know, I think a lot of the times, you know, they think that there's something wrong with it, so they're afraid to reach. And, you know, how do we get our young men to feel like, okay, it's okay to not do what all the rappers are doing? It's okay to have our own image and be ourselves.
That's a great question. Let me start by saying this, and that was at the heart of my mission in starting Tied to Greatness, and that was to model another image for these young men to emulate. If we get enough professional black men to stand up and intervene in the lives of our young men, we then say, now this is what a real man looks like. When a real man goes to work, his jeans aren't sagging. When a real man goes to work, you know, he's taking a shower and his, you know, his image is right and his, you know, all of those personal things are taken care of so that he presents a very positive, a very healthy, a very professional image. And so, again, we have to, as men, take time with these young men and show them that oftentimes what you see on a video or what you see during the concert is what they show on while they're on stage. But when it comes time for hip-hop artists or rappers to do business, believe me, they're going in with a suit, shirt, and a tie. That's just it. Yeah. I tell young men across the nation, the international uniform for business is a suit, a shirt, and a tie. And believe
it
me,
is.
When these moguls, when these rappers are doing business, they're not coming in with hoodies and jeans. They're coming in dressed appropriately in order to take advantage of those situations and opportunities. And so now one thing I will say, because you mentioned, you know, having your nails taken care of and things like that, I do believe that your nails should be cut and clean. Now, whether they want them polished or not is a whole nother issue. That might not be appealing to a teenage young man. However, I do tell them that the minimum is to have your nails cleaned and cut. That is a must. That's a must.
And I want to talk, and I want to speak to that nails being cleaned and cut too. You know, if I can just chime in on that one, I definitely agree with you. And I think there's also a reason for it too. And especially if you're worrying about your sons thinking that this is feminine, if you want to really convince them why, no respectable woman will want a man putting his hands on her with dirty nails, dirt, grime, and germs under your nails. You don't want to put your woman at risk of health or getting some type of infection or something like that because coming in with all types of dirt and grime under your nails. So if that reason alone isn't enough to encourage you to keep your hands clean, bro, then, you know, I don't know what else you need. I mean, you don't need the polish and all of that, but clean and cut for the ladies
is a must. Clean and cut is a must. It is a must.
Yes. Thank you for that. Now, you were talking about Tied to Greatness. I wanted you to get a little bit more into this image thing. And that image that you speak of is not just about the outer clothing. And that's what I think is so awesome
yeah.
about your message, because you are a fashion guru and you do know men's clothing and you know what to put together that's easy on the eye. But your image is not just your clothes. Your image
right.
encompasses a lot more than that. And
right.
you talk about this in your book, Restoring the Male Image. Tell us about this book.
Sure. So I'm the author of the award-winning Restoring the Male Image, A Look from the Inside Out. And so if you haven't seen the cover of the book, there's this gentleman on the cover. He's impeccably dressed, beautiful black suit, crisp white shirt, black and red tie, and there is this beam of light coming out of his chest. It's kind of like it puts you in mind of Superman, you know, as he takes off the Clark Kent suit, and then this big S comes out. And so the idea behind the cover is that as polished and refined as this gentleman's image is, the real greatness comes from within. And I think the question is, and it goes back to the title of an old movie, What Lies Beneath? And so my challenge to young men is, okay, I don't want you just leaving this Tied to Greatness session saying, I heard what Dr. Ella said, Mom, I need a new suit, you know, and you still cut in class, and you still fighting at school, and you still, you know, getting caught smoking weed in the bathroom, and you're still cheating on exams. You know, the idea is that the real image of a man or woman begins not on what label you're wearing, not that you got a custom suit or Gucci shoes or some handmade something. No, but that the real image begins with your character and integrity and who God made you to be. That's where the real image of a man or woman begins. And then the exterior becomes a reflection of the greatness that we know that's on the inside of each and every one of us. And so that's what we try to teach, is a holistic approach to image.
Yes.
And so it goes back to just what our caller just said about, you know, making sure that, you know, these young men open doors for the ladies. You know, making sure you're pulling out chairs. And I mean, you've seen my presentation. You know, just to make sure something as simple as making sure that the woman that you're with is on the inside of the curb, you know, and make sure that she's protected and that she's safe and all of those things. Those things are essential. And those are some of the principles that we teach so that we make sure that we just don't advocate, you know, a shopping spree. It's much bigger than that. And you've got to be careful, you know, in our society, because our society is very image driven. And so, you know, I teach young men to make sure your image works for you and not against you. At the same time,
that's right,
you've got to know that it doesn't begin there. It doesn't begin with the suit. It begins with your mindset. It begins with your heart. Because it's a bad thing, man, to look sharp and be grimy. Like we have an issue with that, you know. So we want to make sure that you're healthy and whole internally. And then oftentimes, as we all know, when you feel better, you dress better. You respond better. You just put an extra pep in your step. You walk with an extra sense of swag, because things are right on the inside. Yeah.
Yeah, that's an awesome message. I encourage you all to get that book. I have the book. I read it, and it's something that has impacted my life, and I'm sure it will impact yours. That's Restoring the Male Image by Dr. Alex Ellis. You're just tuning in. You're kind of late if you're just tuning in, actually. We got 15 minutes to the show's over, but this is Zoe Brown Speaks Radio, Life Coach Radio Network's Blog Talk Radio. You are listening to Zoe Brown interviewing, having a wonderful conversation with Dr. Alex Ellis. It's June 26th, Thursday. Show us every fourth Thursday of the month. Dr. Ellis, who are three people who inspire you? Because you inspire so many people, and I'm sure that you're on somebody's list out there. You're on my list. Who's on your list? Who inspires you?
Well, again, as I mentioned earlier in the interview, you know, Derek Watkins, you know, better known as Farnsworth Bentley, was a great mentor of mine, and has really helped to help me navigate through, you know, the fashion industry. And has really been just a true brother to me. So I would definitely, you know, want to mention him as, you know, as an example of someone who definitely inspires me. Jonathan Sprinkles is my motivational speaking coach, and he is a great inspiration to me in helping me to just to refine what I do. You know, again, there is a natural gift that I have in speaking, and I've been speaking since
Absolutely.
I was a kid, doing speeches and contests and debates and all of that. But I've learned, although you might have a natural gift or gifting, but you've got to perfect your craft, man. I mean, you've got to labor intensely at taking what you do to the next level, and that's what sets you apart from the crowd. And so, you know, he inspires me and keeps me on my toes, and so I would definitely want to make mention of him. Finally, and I save the best for last, and that is none other than Mr. Lester Ellis. That is my father, who, man, I'm just, the older I get and the more I live, the greater my appreciation is for my father. You know, unlike, you know, many young men that I come across, I was privileged to have a father in the home, you know, a father who worked hard every day, that brought his money home, that put his family before himself. I'm the youngest of five, and he took real good care of us, and I'm grateful for that, and you know, he's an example, man, of a great husband and a great father, man, and I pray that one day my wife and my kids will be able to say the same thing about me. And so, yeah, he definitely gives me extreme inspiration in life and in business.
Awesome. That is awesome. Awesome list of people who inspire you. We have another caller on the line. Let us see who we are speaking to. Caller, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, sir.
How you doing, caller? What's your name? Where you calling from?
This is James Edwards, calling from North Carolina.
James Edwards from North Carolina. What's going on, big brother?
How y'all doing?
Great, man. Pleasant surprise.
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Good to hear you guys.
Likewise.
I'm doing very well. Yes.
Awesome. So you got a question for Alex or myself?
No, I'm just enjoying. I'm doing the same thing you gentlemen are doing from a different perspective, but I'm inspiring people every day. I finally got into the entrepreneurial aspect, life coaching. I'm doing many things that you probably see on Facebook, professional boxer.
I see you, brother. I see you.
So everything has been successful. God has been blessing. And, you know, I'm just encouraging people, and I like to hear other people encourage people. We were born to lift up people. That's what I was born to do, lift up. That's all I do is lift up. I don't have a negative thing to say. I've learned over my years and experience and through wisdom, through trials and tribulations and good and bad, and I've learned that when one day, you know, God told me, he said, this is not enough, so give this up, when it came to work. And then he said to me, he said, you got to let everything go. Let everybody go that's done you wrong. Let all of that stuff go and watch me move. And when I let everything go, when I tell you it's like God put it in my hands, it's because I didn't have anything holding me back. You know, so all I do is just open my mouth to put out positiveness. That's it, period. End of story.
And that's what we should all do, that's for sure.
That's right.
Awesome. You are definitely in the right place for that, because this is Life Coach Radio Networks. Well, that's all we do. We are here to bring positive messages to all of the listeners. And, James, I thank you so much for calling and just giving our callers, you know, some inspiration. You know, like, we've been getting a lot of inspiration tonight, you know, and I thank you, and I appreciate that. The show's coming to an end very shortly, but I want to finish off with the whole purpose of the show. The title of the show today on Zobel Speaks Radio, Life Coach Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, the title is Five Essential Items Every Man Should Add to His Wardrobe. And we want to upgrade the wardrobe, okay? So I talked about some basic items, and I'm just going to repeat those items as well. I said that every man should have a basic power suit. That's a blue, navy blue, black, or charcoal gray suit. Every man should have an Oxford shirt in a basic color, white, light blue. Let's get a necktie as well. Every man should have that. Every man should have a good pair of shoes, black or brown Oxford shoes, well-shined, no scuffs. And every man should have a watch. Now, Alex, you are here to upgrade that list that I just gave to the listeners. So what are five things that are essential for every man to upgrade his wardrobe?
Okay, I'm glad that you asked. Now, you did a thorough job in giving the basics that every man should have in his wardrobe. But I just want to I want to upgrade that list for the gentleman that says,
yes,
hey, man, come on now. I've been working in corporate America for a couple of years, and I pretty much have those things in my closet. What else you got for me? Well, I got five more things.
Right.
The first of which would be, now you said a shirt, and so most men purchase a barrel cuff shirt. And so, man, what is a barrel cuff shirt? A barrel cuff shirt is a basic shirt that buttons at the wrist. It's called a barrel,
right.
B-A-R-R-E-L-L, barrel cuff shirt.
Barrel cuff shirt.
Right. So, but when you go to upgrade your shirt game, I would encourage you to get a French cuff shirt. And so a French cuff shirt is a shirt that has a longer, it's longer by your wrist because it folds back, and it is held together with a cuff link, right? So a French cuff shirt is an amazing shirt that really should be added to any distinguished gentleman's wardrobe. One, because it's a cut above the average guy, because the average guy is going to have a regular button cuff shirt, whereas if you have a French cuff shirt, you stand out in the crowd, and it gives you an opportunity to be able to rock an incredible pair of cufflinks, which brings me to point number two, which would be a cufflink. And so you can go basic silver, basic gold cufflink, or nowadays, there are so many novelty cufflinks where you can find stamps as cufflinks, or you can find, if you like cards, you can have a deck of cards, like a card on a cufflink, or they have cards.
You can have an ace of spades.
Ace of spades, exactly. I mean, so they run the gamut of different things that come on a pair of cufflinks, but it's a real conversation piece, man. I cannot tell you how many times I've been out at dinner or out at an event, and someone will say, oh, wow, man, those cufflinks are amazing. Where did you get those cufflinks from? Or, I've never seen cufflinks like that. And it starts a great conversation, and, you know, those icebreakers are always good when you're out networking. So French cuff shirt was number one. Number two would be cufflinks.
Hey, you got a lot of them. I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah. As your wardrobe goes, man, and as you travel, you know, you pick up different cufflinks here and there, and before you know it, man, you have a great arsenal of incredible cufflinks. Thirdly, I would say a navy blue blazer. And so, okay, so you have your power suit, but every day you might not wear a suit in the office.
That's right.
Corporate attire is becoming more casual. And so, you know, when you're not going to work and it's or if you're going to work and it's business casual, or you might be going out to a show or out to dinner, I don't want to fully get dressed in a suit. But at the same time, I don't want to have on a polo and khakis. So this navy blue blazer is essential for giving you that middle of the road a nice upgraded style, but not overdress as if you're having on a suit. So navy blue blazer is great. Why navy blue? Navy blue is great because it is a classic blazer that goes with everything. So if you have a pair of jeans, it goes with that. If you have a pair of gray slacks or a pair of khaki slacks, it goes with that. If you have a pair of white linen pants for the summer, an excellent complement to your navy blue blazer. So navy blue blazer is essential when upgrading your wardrobe. And number four is just, man, one of my personal favorites, and that is a pocket square. So many gentlemen wear suits, but if you want to stand out in the crowd, I mean, be ahead of the pack, you definitely want to incorporate, a pocket square. And so that can be a pocket square that's a polka dot pocket square or a pocket square that has paisleys in it, or it can be a basic white pocket square that's trimmed with another color, maybe a red or maybe a light blue or pink. Some gentlemen that say, hey, listen, man, I'm more conservative. I'm not really big into colors. Then fine, you can take a white cotton or white linen pocket square and fold it perfectly and just slide that in your pocket square so that just about a half an inch shows right above your pocket. And so that's a great classic look that goes well to complement any gentleman's ensemble. And finally, number five would be a pair of really stylish socks. And so, you know, generally men would just wear navy blue socks or black socks or brown socks. But, man, you got to upgrade your sock swag. There are so many incredible socks that are out now, full of bold, beautiful colors. So there are many socks that have stripes and squares and dots and all of those things, man, to really express your personality in your sock game. And especially if you're, you know, you're hanging out or going out to dinner, you know, it gives you a chance to, you know, kind of be, you know, just have fun, man. Just have fun and not be so stiff and straight-laced, but to, again, like I said, really express your personality and really take your sock game to the next level. And they're not very expensive, even in your higher-end stores. You know, they have sales, and, man, you can pick up a really incredible pair of socks, man, anywhere between about $7 to $15. You can find a really, really nice pair of socks. So let me go over that list again. Five essentials to upgrading a gentleman's wardrobe. Number one was a French cuff shirt. And if you're getting that French cuff shirt, start with white or light blue. Secondly was a pair of cufflinks. Okay, again, they can be silver, they can be gold, or they can be some novelty type of cufflinks. A third would be a navy blue blazer, a classic blazer you can find in any men's clothing store, K&G, Macy's, Men's Warehouse, and so on. Fourth was a pocket square. In any variety of colors, or you can just go and rock basic white. And finally, stylish socks really help a gentleman upgrade that wardrobe, and you'll be turning heads when you walk into the room. So that's my pick. Those are
that's
my top five.
Awesome. Okay, really quick, fashion don'ts. What are some things that men do when it comes to dressing up that you recommend not to do?
Okay. A couple of quick fashion don'ts. Of course, one of the classic fashion don'ts is black pants, black shoes, and white tube socks. You will go to jail for a very long time. So you know that's one of my biggest pet peeves. Another fashion don't is to take your pants off the hanger without pressing them. And what you'll have is you'll have a hanger crease. So we'll see that line across your pants because they've been hanging on a hanger for the past week or two. So when you take your pants off the hanger, you want to make sure that you iron them. But when you go to press them, make sure you put a pocket square, make sure you put a paper towel, something on top of your pants so that hot iron does not burn and scorch your slacks. So that's another fashion. That's another fashion don't. Another fashion don't is to have shoes and socks that don't match. Okay, so if you have on a black pair of shoes, you need to have on a black belt. I said shoes and socks. I meant to say
shoes
and
belt that don't match.
Right. The belt and the shoes should match. You don't want brown shoes and a white belt. You want to make sure that your belt and your socks, that they complement each other. That's very, very, very important.
Oh, man, these are great tips. You know, I appreciate this conversation so much. And, you know, just due to the response, I know we got some listeners and some callers, and we just appreciate you so much, Dr. Alex. Is there anything else that you'd like to leave us with?
Sure.
You know, just
sure.
Really quick while we have you. Yeah.
Absolutely. A couple of things. One, real quick, let me say this. For those of you that say, hey, man, listen, I'm a stylist kind of guy. That's why I tuned in. As you learn, teach. That's Dr. Maya Angelou. As you get, give.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's not enough for you just to be, you know, the GQ man in your city, the GQ man at your job. Turn around and make sure that you are helping some young man, ladies, that you are turning around and helping some young woman, because they don't know. It's easy for us to judge them on their appearance, but we've got to step in and say, this is how a young man carries himself. This is how a young man dresses. Let me teach you how to tie a tie. Let me teach you how to shine your shoes and make sure that they get those basics down. And God will really bless your life when you make things happen for other people. It's a privilege and an honor being with you tonight. For those of you that are interested in my book, Restoring the Male Image, A Look from the Inside Out by Dr. Alex Ellis, you can go to Amazon.com or BarnesandNobles.com, and the book will be found there. It is Restoring the Male Image, A Look from the Inside Out. For more information about Tied to Greatness, you can go to TiedToGreatness.org. That's T-I-E-D, Tied, like you tied a tie, TiedToGreatness.org.
Yes.
You can find us there. If you want more information about Dr. Ellis, man, I love your interview. I would love to have you come and speak at our church or speak to our young men or speak to our mentoring organization. You can find more information about me speaking at Alex Ellis Online. That's A-L-E-X-E-L-L-I-S online.com. You can find me there. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook,
yeah.
All of that is Dr. Alex Ellis. So that's just D-R, no space, A-L-E-X-E-L-L-I-S. Dr. Alex Ellis. Yeah, you can find me there on social media.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Ellis. Thank you so much for your time. We really, really, really appreciate you taking out your time. If you just tuned in, I'm sorry it's the end of the show, but the good news is that this show is archived. This is Zobrow Speaks Radio on Life Coach Radio Networks under Blog Talk Radio. This show is premiering every fourth Thursday of every month. This is Zoe Brown, and you can also find me on social media, Zoe Brown Speaks, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and YouTube. When you go to YouTube, make sure you subscribe to my page so you can get notifications of when my videos come out. I hope you all have benefited from this conversation, and I just wish you all a good night. All right?